I'm Keith Hickey.
And I'm Scott Kessler.
And this is Keith and Scott's As of Yet Untitled Union Podcast. Today we'll be talking about Bimbo, the union's new sponsor, and the recent Super Draft. Bimbo, new sponsor, $12 million. It's tied for third largest sponsorship in MLS. The one bone of contention it seemed to be was the name. So what'd you hear about that, Scott?
Well, from Twitter, I didn't really see a problem with the $12 million over 4 years at all. People are very happy with that $3 million a year.
I don't think anyone's disputing that. I think it's the name.
The name, it seemed to be a consensus of people who don't directly follow the MLS soccer or the union having a problem with, instead of seeing Bimbo, they see Bimbo. And Bimbo has obviously seen that as a problem because they're advertising, say, Bimbo all over I-95 and other major areas of traffic throughout the Philadelphia area. So that's really what social media networks were telling the Brotherly Game. That's what I saw. Was that what you saw on your end?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever going to call it Bimbo unless they're someone who's following the team closely. I mean, Bimbo's just an easy joke. The haters are going to get into it, the anti-soccer people, the other fans, not the Philadelphia fans, but opposing rival fans. I guess they figured out, you know, the money they're getting from Bimbo will offset the drop in jersey sales and any upset fans that Bimbo is now on the front of the shirt.
Well, it's a good thing you brought up jersey sales. We had a poll on Brotherly Game just about that, and we had over 100 people say that they will not be buying a new jersey. So it is my hope that they did do enough research to show that that $3 million a year is going to offset the jersey sales. Nick Sakowicz actually said himself at the draft to some of the Philadelphia reporters that every single woman that he's talked to has said nothing but good. He didn't want to say good things, but he said a lot of them have said that they're going to be buying it and wearing it almost as a badge of courage because they like the fact that the team has gone out and gotten a sponsor and they don't have a problem with it. So that's what he saw, and I know that he was quoted by the Philadelphia Inquirer saying something along those lines.
Okay, well, things Nick Sakowicz said can be put in a whole nother podcast. I guess the money, you know, if they lose $100,000 in jersey sales because of the name Bimbo, they're still making a killing out of the sponsorship. So I guess they figured out that it's worth their time and their energy to go for Bimbo.
Well, people were suggesting that maybe Bimbo could have used one of its local companies that it has purchased over the last couple of years, such as a Stroman's Rolls or a Thomas English Muffins or even Entenmann's. And there have been suggestions and rumors that Bimbo might purchase Tasty Cake, which is in has financial problems right now. And people were favorable towards a Tasty Cake, a Wawa, even a Comcast with Xfinity. And they don't love the fact that Bimbo came and put its name on the front of the jersey and didn't at least work out a way where colors can match up. That was another problem they had with it. It wasn't just the name, it was the fact that the jersey itself clashes because of the sponsor and the jersey colors.
I honestly don't think it's that big a deal, the clashing, but maybe I just have terrible fashion sense. The other thing with Bimbo's corporate strategy, I mean, That's what they're going for. If they want to put their national or international brand on it rather than a local brand, then it's up to them.
I don't have a problem with it either. In fact, if you talk to family members, you talk to friends, they don't even realize that they eat Bimbo products. So people recognize the local brands a lot more than they do Bimbo itself. So this has only gained a lot of publicity and a lot of increased research on Bimbo itself, which is what the company wants.
Oh yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic for Bimbo, because I mean, it's not like their name is changing. They've been Bimbo, and now people know what Bimbo is because they're sponsoring the union.
Exactly, and the union has certainly seen its own share of publicity from various media outlets. It was covered throughout the nation because it chose Bimbo. If it went local, sure, it gets a lot of press in the area and people are happy with it, but I don't think that the team gets the same amount of publicity that it did now if it had gone with a Wawa or a Tasty Cake or a Yingling of the League Allowed for alcohol sponsorships.
I think we're both cautiously optimistic about the Bimbo sponsorship.
I would agree.
So I think we're going to move on now to the MLS Super Draft. We were both there on Thursday.
That's correct.
Very busy day, a lot going on.
Exciting day, though. Exciting day.
I was surprised the union took a goalkeeper so high. There was a lot of good players left in the draft. couple forwards, couple high-rated defenders, Anababa, Sarkodie. Were they really that worried about McMath not falling? Because, you know, it wasn't like a goalkeeper has always been the top priority for most teams. Last year, Brian Perk was the first goalkeeper taken in, I think, the third round.
It was the fourth round.
Yeah, the fourth round. The
first round of the supplemental draft this year.
Yeah, and he was the best goalkeeper in last year's draft.
And we released him.
Yeah. So I was a bit surprised he went so early.
The thing is, with the McMath drafting, people are upset, or at least were upset at first, because we didn't draft Corey Herzog, mm-hmm. which Sons of Ben and people from the area would have loved, because local kid, went to Penn State for college, played with the development teams of the Union, you know, has a relationship with the coaches.
And not only that, he was absolutely dominant in college. He was the top scorer in NCAA Division I, 22 goals. So it wasn't like they're taking a local kid as a pity pick.
Oh, no.
He's a serious player.
He's a serious player. There are analysts who think that he has problems with his game translating to the next level. Now, I'm not even going to go into that. People are also upset that we didn't draft Sarkodie, who was available at 5,
mm-hmm.
who people think is one of the best defensemen in the draft. I honestly didn't see a center back as the team's biggest need. Danny Kalef has already stated that he would like to play with Michael Roscoe-Fiscal. Again, this season, he saw it as a huge improvement over how the team was playing early in the season when he finally had time to adjust to playing with Roscoe-Fiscal. So I like to see them at least have the opportunity to do that. Drafting a goalie so high in this draft, if you look at McMath's history, here's a kid who went into college at 17, and we can talk about how good his defense was with the 2008 Maryland team. They did have three players drafted very highly that year from that defense. He still helped that team win a championship that year, only gave up 9 goals, and had 15 shutouts. I don't think you can really argue against this kid. His college record really speaks for itself.
I'm not arguing against him. I mean, I'm sure that he can be, you know, as good as the last Maryland goalkeeper taken in the first round of the draft.
Is that a little shot at Chris Seitz?
That was a little shot at Chris Seitz.
Who just so happens to have been his teammate that fresh, slightly, for a little bit there. The thing is, when you talk to people who have watched McMath, and you talk to people who really looked at the goalkeepers in this draft, he was far and away the best goalie in this draft. It wasn't a Brian Perk situation where there wasn't a very rich, in-depth goalkeeping position for the draft. He was better than the seniors, the juniors. He was better than everybody in this draft at his position. Not only that, but at 19, any team taking him has a lot of years to spend with him, on working with him. But the coaching staff at Maryland sees him as probably the best prospect to come out of that school.
That's a big tag to put on right there, because Maryland's a good program.
Well, I mean, at the goalkeeping position, really. I mean, to put him as a best prospect, maybe I'm stretching a little bit. But the way that his coaching staff was talking about him, they love the way that he's a leader. They love the way that he was able to bark at players older than him at first, and then eventually players the same age as him. They love how he handled himself in one-on-one situations. They didn't find a flaw in the way that he played at the college level, and they believed that he was going to leave after his sophomore year at 18 for last season's draft, where you said Brian Perk was the best goalkeeper prospect. He would have been better than Brian Perk in that draft, but he actually stayed an extra year, and his coaching staff thinks that because he's played so much at such a young age that he won't have that hard of a transition into the MLS. They think that he can start from day one if he wins a job, which is a lot to say about a 19-year-old coming right out of college.
Well, I think the union should be signing Mondragon sometime this week.
Right.
So he should have a year or two under Mondragon,
playing
in the reserves, you know, to get the experience he needs at a higher level.
If this pick was taken before this year, it would have been the worst decision that Pieter Novak and the Union could have chose. Before this year, there was no reserve league, so you didn't have the ability to have a player like him spend time refining his game before he had his opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have a veteran goalkeeper like Mondragon, who had the ability to teach him how to bark at older players, teach him how to control his line, teach him how to, you know, do everything that a veteran goalkeeper can teach a younger goalkeeper. And if you could choose a goalkeeper to bring into the MLS and teach Zach McMath, Fareed Mondragon is the perfect goalkeeper to do that.
Okay, well, moving on from McMath, our second pick of the draft was Michael Farfan, midfielder. There were a lot of surprise that he dropped so far, because a lot of people had him as a late first-round pick, and to fall to the second round was kind of a surprise, and we were lucky to get him.
People thought that despite an iffy combine that he would stay in the first round. He's 5'9". He's not the biggest guy. It's not a Roger Torres situation. But he is a very creative midfielder. It's something that they really needed after losing Fred in the expansion draft, after not really having someone able to play every single game at that position. Roger Torres, we don't know what he's going to be this season. He's still a question mark. Does he have enough stamina and endurance to play in the MLS? Michael Farfan has the ability to last long in the MLS. The best part of him is that he loves to play in a creative role out of the center of the midfield, which is exactly what the Union need behind Mwanga and Latu.
I've heard him compared favorably with Kyle Nakazawa, who kind of surprised people with a late pick who picked up serious minutes.
The main difference is that it appears that people think that he has a higher ceiling and more raw potential than Akana Nakazawa. They did say a lot about how he compares favorably to Kyle Nakazawa, and that is really a compliment, because Nakazawa at the end of the season showed that he has the ability to play in the MLS and help to give the Union some sort of a attacking ability out of there. But he right now has a better ability to be creative out of the center of the midfield. He just doesn't have the same polish that Nakazawa has right now.
Okay. And our third pick of the draft was Levi Huapu, another African kid coming to the Union. Supposedly a quick, pacing winger, kind of a replacement for Shea Salinas, because without Salinas, we're kind of lacking pace on the outside.
Right, and even with Shea Salinas, we didn't have that much pace on the outside other than him. So it is, like you said, a direct replacement, really, for him. The advantage of Huapu is that he led NCAA for the past 2 years in points scored. He scored 15 goals 2 years in a row, his junior and senior years. And he showed his junior year that he can play off of teammates and help create other goals. He had 13 or 14 assists that season, I believe. He's able to play on the wing. He likes to play towards the chalk. He can also play as an out-and-out striker, also known as a wide forward.
I think he's a bit small to be an MLS striker, to be honest.
He's not a true striker. He'd play more towards like a Theo Walcott role, where he heads towards the 18. He loves to play there. Loves to play on the edge of the 18. He is a great strike from there. He's not an in-the-boxer, though. He's not that kind of striker. He'll play on the edge.
Which you might need a player like that with Mwanga and Mintal, who are you bringing in. He's a more powerful striker.
I've actually seen reports that Mintal is set for Toronto FC.
Really?
Yes. Okay. That was the most recent report that I saw. Now, we can get into that in a second, but Huapu has the ability to, out of the three draft picks, I believe he actually has the best ability to affect the team this season. He's the second oldest of the three. He's 21. Farfan is 23.
Mm-hmm.
But Huapu fills a direct need, someone on the right side of the midfield who has plenty of speed to match Justin Mapps on the left side. And on the right side, don't forget that we have Shannon Williams, who has the ability to come right behind Huapu on attacks.
Yeah, that's a lot of pace coming down the right flank next year.
We have the ability to match what Seattle's going to see, having Zakiwani and Tete on the same side there, on the left side of their midfield. We're going to see plenty of speed, and we're going to see Latu combining with that on the right side, and it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch in the attack in 2011.
I certainly hope so. And we'll finish up by talking about Mintal and any other rumored players. I've heard Carlos Valdez, the deal's on, the deal's off. In the same day, I've heard that it's dead in the water and a sure thing. So,
according to Kareth Gabriel, about 2 weeks ago, he was set. I saw reports that he was basically here. Heard rumors that he's going to be announced next week along with Fareed Mondragon and Mintal. But then I see reports that Mintal might not even come. The fact is, Valdez, year-long loan, I will take a center defender if we can get one of his nature. He has a good track record in South America, and we seem to be really favoring Colombians because of Diego Gutierrez, who was recently signed on as a talent scout for the region. Mental has not done much in recent years for Nuremberg in the Bundesliga in Germany, and he hasn't featured for Slovakia recently either. The Slovakian team that won the World Cup was young.
He's 33. I mean, a step down, maybe to MLS could help him out. If he can still contribute, you know.
Is he worth $330,000 plus, though? The rumor is it's 3 years, $1 million, which is going to be a max contract in the MLS. I don't think that's worth it for a 33-year-old striker who hasn't done much for his club team in Europe. If we were talking about someone who's been, you know, dropping down from 10 to 8 to 7 goals because he's aging, that'd be one thing. But he's gone from something like 30-plus goals 5 years ago to almost nothing now.
Okay, well, I don't know the whole story behind him, if he's had injuries or form or what's going on. But I'm going to trust you, Peter. We do need, you know, an experienced striker. We've got Letu, right. And then behind Letu, we've got basically three guys who haven't played more than 20 pro games.
I think you're referring to, let's see, we have Nick Zimmerman.
Zimmerman, Mwanga, and McInerney.
Right. And Huapu, kind of, if we change formations in game.
Yeah, but
depending on, he could theoretically play as a behind the striker. And then Ashley Young vein.
Yeah, the
risk it.
The point is, we've got a seriously young core of strikers, and bringing a guy in who's played in Europe and has been there, done that internationally at club level. Maybe if he's not the big hit that we want him to be on the field, he might have an effect off of it, which, you know, makes him worth it.
I can't complain with that reasoning. I just feel like if you're going to do it that way, you might as well get someone who's played in the MLS for a while, who's on the, you know, on the scrap heap. There's a ton of American strikers that you could pick up that have spent time somewhere and have experienced the MLS.
Yeah, but who can get someone like Chad Barrett, who, you know, he's not played at the same level as Mintal has in the Bundesliga or
right.
internationally. You're getting some guy with a whole lot of potential. Or not potential, but experience, sorry.
You're hoping that the experienced striker could teach the young players, you know, certain things, help them along, how to be off the field, how to be on the field. I just don't know if Mintal is the best match for this team, just from what I've read, what I've seen of his play. If we're going to go for an over 30 striker from Europe, I think that we could do a little bit better for $335,000 a year, or we could even bump it up into designated player levels, considering now we do have the Bimbo sponsorship.
Okay, I think we're going to leave it there. Thanks for talking to me, Scott.
No problem. Always a good time, Keith.
All right. We'll see you later.
Okay.